Welcome to Voicing Our Values, a series of podcasts about progressive message framing. This is the 13th segment entitled How to Talk About Voting and Elections. I'm Bernie Horn, the Senior Director for Policy and Communications at the Public Leadership Institute, a nonpartisan nonprofit organization that seeks to help progressive lawmakers and advocates, particularly at the state and local levels of government. Please take some time to look around our website, www.publicleadershipinstitute.org. In addition to the Voicing Our Values messaging handbook, you'll find the Progressive Agenda, which contains hundreds of policy ideas and more than 150 model bills, our handbook for policy advocates called Preparing to Win, and much more. In our last podcast, number 12, we explained how to talk about taxation in a way to get around the problem of confirmation bias, which was explained in podcast 1. To persuade, you need to understand your audience's preconceptions and where you share common ground. To avoid triggering negative emotional reactions and confirmation bias, you must start from a point of agreement and provide voters with a bridge from their preconceptions to your solutions. Along the way, show that your policies are consistent with values that they already hold dear and explain how they benefit. All this is designed to remind your listeners over and over again that you are on their side. The question now is, how do we apply this when talking about voting and elections? As we told you in podcast 2, the first rule of persuasion is to begin any argument in agreement with your audience. How do you do that when talking about voting and elections? You could say something like this: in a democracy, the right to vote is a fundamental freedom. Let me suggest that, except for hardcore right-wing voters, everyone agrees with that. But why link it to freedom? Well, I will explain that in just a moment. After we begin an agreement, then we use values. What are our progressive values when it comes to voting in elections? How about freedom, liberty, fundamental rights, basic rights, and democracy? So what's our vision for policy about voting in elections in a short narrative? Something like this: in America, the right to vote is a fundamental freedom, and because we are the leading democracy in the world, our election system ought to be completely fair, free, and accessible. The way we conduct elections today is obsolete. We need to eliminate long lines, cut costs, make it more convenient for eligible citizens to vote, maintain the integrity of the voting system, and stop the rich and powerful from exercising undue influence on the process. In short, we must, 1, guarantee that all citizens can register to vote, 2, ensure that all citizens can cast their ballots and be counted, and 3, crack down on the way campaign finance corrupts public policy. So now let's dive into some language. In general, progressives seek to make voter registration simpler and more accurate, and voting more convenient. Right-wingers, on the other hand, try to make it harder for eligible American citizens to register and vote. Your argument should be based on freedom, patriotism, and the modernization of our outmoded voting systems. Their arguments based on the unfounded fear of voter fraud, often imagined as fraudulent voting by immigrants. Whether you're arguing for a progressive reform or against a right-wing restriction, begin in agreement, using your values in a way to frame the discussion the way we believe it should be framed. Like this: In America, the right to vote is a fundamental freedom, and because we are the leading democracy in the world, our election system ought to be completely free, fair, and accessible. So why use that language? You must put the conversation in context. When talking about voting, progressives have two great advantages that are too rarely used by our side. First, the most popular and powerful value in political debate is freedom. It's stronger and more emotional than any other argument. So use it here. If voting is understood as a basic right, like freedom of speech, then it should never be curbed unless it risks an immediate serious threat to public security. As you know, freedom of speech should not be limited except for a threat, like shouting fire in a crowded theater. You've heard that, you know that. Our freedom to vote should never be limited without an overriding reason. And none exists here. If you can win the frame that voting is a fundamental freedom, you'll ultimately win the argument. The second advantage, Americans are proud of American democracy, and an appeal to that feeling of patriotism helps to persuade them. That's why we lead with America being the leading democracy in the world. It motivates people. So, as you know, the biggest problem in the issue of voting and elections is that we progressives are on the defensive about the supposed issue of, quote, voting fraud, unquote. Am I right? It's a very clever way to make it seem like we progressives care more about unauthorized immigrants than we care about citizens. So, what do we do about that? First, understand the reality of voter fraud, which is different than messaging. But the reality, if someone tries to cast a ballot by impersonating an eligible voter, that's a crime punishable by 5 years in prison. Because the penalty is so severe, and there's no real advantage to the perpetrator, this crime almost never happens. It's virtually a ghost. And there's no example ever of such fraud changing the results of any election. And yet, impersonation is the only kind of voter fraud that could be prevented by requiring people to display photo identification. But the problem is, many Americans firmly believe that voter fraud exists. According to a Washington Post ABC News poll, 46% of all voters and nearly 70% of Trump voters believe that very or somewhat often, quote, the same person votes multiple times or someone votes who is not eligible, unquote. Americans probably believe this because we do have an anecdotal history of, you know, voting from the graveyard. And the 2000 election exposed the fact that some of our election administrators are extremely inept. So, you have to be careful with language. When tackling this issue, don't say voter fraud. Never say voter fraud. Don't talk about illegal voting. And don't say voter suppression or disenfranchisement when you're trying to persuade anyone. Instead, talk about the fundamental freedom to vote, that it's one of the most basic rights in a democracy. Talk about being free, fair, and accessible. And criticize making it harder to vote. Why is that? You should expect the right wing to cry voter fraud no matter what legislation's being considered. The best messaging advice is don't say the F word. I mean fraud, of course. Sadly, you cannot win the argument by educating voters that fraud is rare. You can't do it. Instead, acknowledge the importance of protecting the integrity of our elections and push the debate away from fraud and toward the goal of making elections free, fair, and accessible. When arguing against voter ID legislation, try this. In America, the right to vote is a fundamental freedom. And because we are the leading democracy in the world, our election system must be free, fair, and accessible for every qualified citizen. As we protect election integrity, which is absolutely essential, we cannot infringe on freedom. The fact is, when the government puts up barriers to voting, it creates long lines for everyone. It increases taxpayer costs, and it denies the vote to millions of senior citizens and military veterans. Let's stick to efficient and effective ways to keep our elections honest. Now, why say it that way? The narrative never uses fraud, and it does not dispute the existence of voter fraud. It suggests instead that this particular legislation is flawed. Specifically, it makes 3 points. 1, long lines. In considering any policy, people first want to know how it affects them personally. Voter ID will increase everyone's waiting time at the polls, perhaps by a lot. Let voters understand that they personally will be inconvenienced by such a law. 2, taxpayer costs. Right now, any unnecessary government spending is unpopular. A voter ID requirement means the government will have to pay to educate voters about the new rules, educate precinct officials, and perhaps pay for staff or machinery in order to speed up the delays that it will cause. This may sound like a small point, but it played a big role in winning the Minnesota referendum against voter ID. And 3, making it harder to vote. This is the most important argument, but to be effective, limit your examples to the most sympathetic victims. Average Americans can be persuaded by focusing on seniors and veterans who are lifelong voters. Often, they no longer have their valid driver's licenses and they'd have a very hard time getting substitute ID. But swing voters are less likely to be persuaded by hearing about people in poverty who lack identification. So don't go that way. Now, whatever you do, don't underestimate the difficulty of the progressive argument. Average Americans generally believe the conservative talking points. After all, they have to show photo ID when they get on an airplane and even when they buy Sudafed at the drugstore. Why not require it to vote? So understand that you start this debate at a severe disadvantage, and that's why you must be mindful of Americans' beliefs and use the best informed messaging to win them over. So how about when we talk about proactive, progressive voting reforms? In many states, the voter registration and election day systems are ancient, inefficient, and inaccurate. That's why we need to modernize these systems and processes and technologies that are commonplace everywhere except in the administration of elections. So say something like this. We need to uphold the freedom to vote for every eligible American citizen. One important step is to modernize the election process with, and then list whatever you're promoting, online registration, early voting, automatic transfer, some other reform, okay? This will benefit all of us by eliminating long lines at the polls, cutting administrative costs, making it more convenient for eligible citizens to vote, and maintaining the integrity of the voting system. It will help make our elections free, fair, and accessible for every one of us. So why say it that way? Progressives usually want to talk about how automatic online or election day registration helps people who are not registered. They want to explain how early or absentee voting helps people who aren't otherwise able to vote. But overwhelmingly, the audience you're talking to is registered and manages to vote. So you need to talk about how progressive reforms benefit them personally. For example, how listeners deserve the convenience of their voter registration being automatically transferred to a new address when they move. Finally, let me address a couple of assertions you may have to deal with. Here's one right-wing argument. Online registration will lead to voter fraud. So try this answer. We need to ensure that our elections are free, fair, and accessible for everyone who's eligible to vote. Most states now use online voter registration because it saves money, reduces errors, and speeds up the line to vote on election day. Those states have proven that online registration actually leads to more accurate voter rolls, not more mistakes. It's time to replace our outmoded and inaccurate voting systems with modern technology. And here's another right-wing argument. Early voting is not worth the cost. So how about this answer? Our elections should be free, fair, and accessible for every eligible voter. Restricting the vote to one particular Tuesday is inconsistent with the requirements of modern life. That's why most states now allow citizens to vote before Election Day or to vote absentee. This increases convenience and at the same time diminishes the number of people who vote on Election Day, which eliminates long lines at the polls. The fact is, it costs very little to replace our ancient and inefficient policy of Election Day voting with a modern system that benefits everyone. So please note that all of our narratives and answers follow three simple rules. One, begin in agreement. Two, use values. And three, show how the listeners benefit. Okay? For more specific ways to answer right-wing arguments, please refer to our book, Voicing Our Values, available on the PLI website or on Amazon. In future podcasts, we'll show how to use our basic rules of persuasion to debate many other issues. In the meantime, do us a favor and recommend the Voicing Our Values series of podcasts to your friends. Best to you.